been waiting patiently since she gave us that travel update just a moment ago, is my studio guest this morning. Now, her career began at the tender age of 9, starring in a Pathé newsreel as a young tennis star. From then on, the life of Nancy Vlasto, who lives in Surbiton, was never going to be ordinary. She's worked in a children's hospital with patients who were too sick to make it to the air raid shelters in World War II. Took a lone tour of Asia in the 1950s, when women simply did not travel on their own. And spent an afternoon taking tea with Her Majesty the Queen, no less. More recently, she's recognised by many fundraising on the streets of Surbiton, dressed as Blossom the pantomime. I was going to say panto horse, but there's a photo on the back of your book, Nancy, which looks like a panto reindeer or cow.
I know, well, you see, at Christmas, like a cow, don't call me a cow. At Christmas, I used to dress up as a reindeer.
I see.
And it had a baby called Bud, who I hold in my hand. She's on the picture at the back.
Oh, yes, I see.
The Rotarians or somebody came around with another trolley with a reindeer, and I thought it wasn't fair on children. They wouldn't know which reindeer was the right one. So I decided I'd go back to being a horse.
Okay, so you're a horse so all a the horse. Year. You're a horse all the year.
Yes, all the year.
You didn't start off as a horse, as we know. We've just heard about this extraordinary career.
Blossom.
We've touched on it. That's what you're calling the horse. Are you? What's the reindeer called?
Well, she's still called Blossom.
She's called Blossom.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Okay, we've got Blossom the pantomime reindeer and Blossom the pantomime horse. What was the name of it? Buddy was the little
Bud.
Hand puppet. Okay, Bud. So this is your latter career. I want to take you back to early days.
Right.
Tell me about your tennis career.
Well, I just played tennis and loved it. And when we were younger, we used to go to Frinton-on-Sea.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to play in the tournaments there. And Pathé News happened to turn up and took photographs, and it was shown on the local newsreel, which I wasn't allowed to see in case I got a big head. So I never
saw it. By your parents?
Rather sad, yes.
They said you're not seeing
so
yourself on...
I never
on...
saw it. But I know it happened, and in my book there's a picture from the film.
Do you know how attitudes have changed?
Yes, haven't they?
How I just think that if my daughter appeared on television, she'd have the video and DVD to take
absolutely
into class. Yeah.
I'm really sad.
Oh, well. Did you ever see it? Have you ever seen it?
No.
We need to dig this out, Nancy.
You can't. I rang them up and they said they haven't got it still.
Oh.
It's so many years ago.
Oh.
I said, well, what if I'd become a wonderful player? And surely you'd have dug up the back. And they said, not that far back.
I guess they don't keep every newsreel that they made. What a shame. Okay, Nancy. Now, you are then photographed on the front cover of your autobiography, which is called What's Next, which is an interesting title in itself. In what? Which uniform is this?
Nurse's uniform. It was actually a typical nurse's uniform of that time.
You know what, Nancy Vlasto?
I'm 85 now, just in case people want to know.
You're 85. So when was this photo taken?
I was 17.
17.
Long time ago.
You're a good-looking woman.
So we wore... Oh, thank you. We were not now. We wore stiff collars and cuffs and belts.
There's a cheeky smile playing about your lips here on that photograph, though, isn't there?
I think so.
Do you remember the photo session?
Yes, I do very well.
What did the photographer say to you?
We will all land up. I don't remember what he said. It's too far away.
Because photos from this period tend to be sort of grim, hatchet-faced kind of people rather than the broad smiles that you get nowadays. And yet, as I say, you've got this cheeky little glint in your eye there, Nancy.
Oh, I think we were full of fun. We were full of fun.
What did you get? I mean, this extraordinary story that you were treating patients too sick to go into air raid shelters. Does that mean you had to stay with them?
This was during the war.
Yeah.
And we were in East End in Hackney Road, and we were being bombed night after night. And we used to take the children down into the basement. And then it became that the nurses were so tired, we just could not go up and down the steps, taking bedpans and bottles and making milk up. And it was a palaver.
So what did you do? You stayed with the patients during the air raids?
We stayed up in the wards, and we were allowed to sleep in our beds, and the nurses on duty stayed on duty. And as luck would have it, all around us was bombed and flattened, but Queen's Hospital for Children stayed standing.
And when the sirens went,
yes,
did you hide under the beds? Did you go to the windows to see what was
ignored
going
it
on? Just ignored it?
You couldn't do anything else. Night after night after night, the bombers came over. There was no point. We were too tired.
And you were how old?
17 when I started.
What kind of experience is that like for a young girl or a young woman?
Well, I realise now, when I wrote the book, I've said in the book that I don't think we realised quite how much it affected us, how traumatised we were. I did have a spell in a nurse's convalescent home for tired nurses, it was called, but in fact we were all shell-shocked. And we stayed in bed for quite a long time before we were allowed to get up and do normal things.
So post-war, what did you get up to?
Well, I went to train at University College Hospital in Gower Street in London. And there's so much I couldn't even go into it now, but it's in the book. But we were in different areas of the hospital at different times. We had to cover every area, and then we were sent out to the country branch as well, and we nursed TB patients. 3 years there, I had to stop because I had physical problems, but it was absolutely lovely. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
When did your fundraising career begin? Because I presume that's how you got to meet Her Majesty.
Well, I presume that's how it was, but one never gets told, you know. You just get a lovely card saying she invites you to tea on the lawn at Buckingham Palace.
And you attended one of the garden parties.
And I assumed that people had put my name forward, yes.
How close did you get to Her Majesty?
Oh, I shook hands twice.
Oh, really?
I don't think she realised that she'd seen me once. She and Prince Charles and the whole retinue came past, and people were so kind, they kept pushing. I'm in a scooter, I can't walk very far, and they kept pushing me to the front and saying hello, and Prince Charles would say hello because he'd already seen me.
There's an awful lot of people on scooters here today.
Yes, because I don't think they're really quite as big as mine. It was an electric one and it was bright red, so it stood out rather.
And what did Her Majesty say to you?
Oh, it was just lovely courtesy, you know. How are you? Hope you're enjoying it. And the usual things.
Oh, that's charming. I've never come close, well, not remotely close to that kind of royalty, so I can imagine it was.
She was charming, and Prince Charles really impressed me enormously. He was so sincere, so genuine. He looks you right in the eye and he wants to hear what you say.
Why does he get such a bad press?
I don't know. I cannot understand it. He's a caring person, and he cares about nature, and it seems that that's something to perhaps ridicule. Don't know why. And he asked me if I'd been down to his lake. And I said, yes, and I saw all your fish down there. And he said, well, did you? Which ones did you see? And he was really interested. Fantastic.
You know, I know you probably shouldn't be sharing private conversations with royals, but it's always nice to know what they're interested in.
I don't see why not.
No, absolutely.
They're human beings.
I'm looking at this wonderful book published in hardback, and it's got all sorts of incredible photographs in it. We have about 2 minutes before the end of the programme, which means that we're not going to get an opportunity to talk about every single chapter of your life. But we did mention that you did this as well. How did that come about?
I went to Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
I have family living in Karachi.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, there's a lot of fighting there. And I've been out there 3 times.
Oh, right.
Just to visit them.
Who was visiting? What was that experience like when you first went?
A bit shattering.
I can imagine.
Yeah, a bit shattering. But when I went back second or third time, I was more adjusted to it. They're very poor out there, and I found it quite sad, really.
And in terms of what the book mainly covers, what have you concentrated on? Because I think you're known, obviously, as a local figure for the colourful fundraising that you do.
Charity collection. I tell you, I'm very lucky. I'm not lucky not having a husband, and I'm not lucky not having children, but it has enabled me to wake up in the morning and hear the news, and terrible news, and something's happened. And so I just get up, label it, get on my scooter and go to Kingston, and the money rolls in because they know me, they trust me, and I give it to the Red Cross.
Is it the Red Cross that's the main recipient of your collecting?
The Red Cross for wherever it's designated.
I
so
see.
So if there's a flood, I say on the tin for the flood disaster.
So for instance, what's happening in Africa at the moment?
Yes, I'm about to do it.
So will we see you in Surbiton today, dressed as Blossom the Pantomime
Horse? I don't think today. I think...
We've exhausted
I've
you.
I've had my whack this morning.
Yes, no, I think you have.
But
yes,
I will...
You deserve to take it a little bit easy.
In Kingston.
In your mid-80s, you can pick and choose, I think, after a
absolutely.
While, can't you?
Absolutely.
Nancy, we haven't even talked about your incredible name, but I don't think we've got time. Can you quickly give me your...
Greek origin.
Vlasto's Greek
father,
origin, is it?
Yes,
and you've got a crazy middle name?
No, I haven't.
It's not Seven,
Lorna Mary
is it?
Nancy.
Born what, sorry?
Lorna Mary Nancy.
So why did you go for Nancy?
Put them in the wrong order because he liked Lorna Doone. And my mother gave him what for.
And she says she's going to be Nancy, whatever the order of your name.
Yes.
Oh, you're such a wonderful person. Thank you so much for coming in. And yes, well, next time people see you out in the streets of Surbiton. Well, you sound like it to me. And you're coming across very well on the radio right now.
Thank you. That's very nice of you.
Listen, well, it's lovely to see you. And if you want to buy this book, it's called What's Next? An Autobiography by Nancy Vlasto. This isn't presumably about the afterlife.
And name the publisher, please.
Well, the name of the publisher is... United Writers, based in Cornwall. So presumably this is available from Amazon and the like, or
it's
directly
from anywhere.
From United Writers. It's $18.95. And if it's anything like as fascinating as this interview, I'm sure it'll be a thumping read.
Thank you so much.
Lovely to meet you, Nancy, and hopefully we'll meet you again in the near future.
I hope
it's
so. Thank
3 minutes to ten. We've had a text from Jenna in Guildford. David and Victoria Beckham have chosen to name their fourth child and their first daughter, Harper 7. Jennifer in Guildford says, a friend of mine is a teacher in New York City. He has a student named La-A, L-A-A, pronounced La-Dasha. L-A-A, L-A-A, pronounced La-Dasha. She is very proud of her name. What an apt note